One plus one is always two. It's goo with a drink for you.
Thanks.
Hello and welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for September the 25th, 2009. This is Mike Minotti, joined by Adjgai Minotti.
Hello.
It's the handsome duo alone again.
Oh, is that what we call ourselves
now?
Yeah,
sure, whatever. You're still tangling with your microphone.
You don't
cord.
Take care of this stuff when I'm not here.
I don't not take care of it, I just ignore it. So welcome to our show today. We'll start off with news. You know, there's not as much TGS news as I would have hoped for.
No, nothing really happened. We still have some good stuff to talk about. I'm actually excited.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. Then we're going to do the quiz. A totally Mario-themed quiz today, I might add.
Oh, yeah. That's exciting.
And you have a new segment called What If, right?
Yes.
What is What If?
You'll find out when we get there.
What is What If? All right. That's kind of funny. Then after that, we'll do our weekend gaming. Then we'll get to the releases, and that'll be the whole show. So, why don't you go ahead and get started with the news.
Okay, so we start off with a story from 1UP, where reliable sources that they have tell them that Yakuza 3 is actually being localized after all.
It always seems like they kind of start localizing, like, one for us as soon as the next one's being, like, coming out for Japan and
yeah.
Whatnot.
Can't say I'm too surprised.
I don't know. I was surprised that they were, like, so, like, iffy on it for so long.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we don't know. Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, you know, they won't release this, but, you know, it's Sega. Yeah, they release a lot of crap.
That's why I don't understand. Like, well, Yakuza 2 sales were disappointing. Compared to what?
Yeah.
Compared to GTA, sure.
Yeah, your barely localized game that you release at the bulk end of the PS2 life cycle with, a $30 price tag and limited distribution. Wonder why they didn't sell.
Right.
Sony is now rescinding on their previous statement about PSP minis. They can, in fact, be patched, and multiplayer may come.
Okay. Well, so there's a lot of making up for past mistakes from Sony.
Hey, guess who agrees with me? Yoichi Wada, the head of Square Enix, who also says that he predicts a new Wii console in 2011.
They don't know what's happening.
Yes, they do.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yes, they do.
No, they don't.
NPD plans to track digital sales numbers. They haven't said how they're going to do this, but they want to, which would be good.
So they want? Oh, I hope they want to.
Yeah. I don't know. Valve's always been notoriously stringy with giving out the sales numbers. They'll give, like, top lists, but they never give actual numbers
right.
on Steam. So we'll see if they could get that out of them. So an internal document leaked out of Sega talks about PS2 and Dreamcast games coming to the PSN. That do anything for you?
Yeah, that's kind of cool, but problem is you can't... Well, Dreamcast games actually could easily... You can do remote play with that, I could see. On the PSP.
Remote play is your concern?
Yes.
You mean remote play or actually putting them onto the PSP?
It's putting them on a PSP.
Okay, that's not remote play. That's just copying them to the memory
whatever.
Card.
But PS2 games won't work because you can't do DualShock.
Or the PSP can't run PS2 games.
Oh, what the heck.
I don't think it could. But, you know, with the steady flow of PS1 releases, I'm sure in no time the entire PS2 library will be up.
Right. Yeah, I wonder what that means exactly. I don't know. We'll see. Mm-hmm. I wonder what Dreamcast games would be coming.
Probably like Sonic Adventure and stuff.
Right.
If you buy an Xbox 360 Elite between now and October 5th, you could go to a website at xbox.com and get a $50 rebate.
Okay.
It's not bad.
Is the Elite the...
$299 SKU.
Okay.
If you're in Germany and you like the game Wolfenstein, I hope you bought it already, because they've taken it off the shelves in Germany due to some swastikas that snuck their way into the game that were supposed to be removed. And considering Activision fired the studio that made this, I don't see them rejiggering the game and re-releasing it, so.
Right.
Whoops.
Oh, Germany and their swastikas, you know? If you don't like it, you shouldn't have, you know, World War II.
Oh, God. So Microsoft has confirmed the wireless N adapter for the 360, but haven't said anything officially about pricing, but we have rumors. Looks like this one's going to be $100, and they're going to drop the old one to $80, which is some weak sauce right there.
I have a wireless adapter already.
Yeah. You know, it's a $20 price. Why wouldn't you just get the other one anyway?
Right.
Why? Yeah, I don't know. Whatever. Okay, so this week was the second round of Arkham Asylum DLC, but for some reason, we don't know why, it is PS3 exclusive in America. In Europe, it came out in the 360.
Hmm.
So I don't know.
Or it's a timed exclusive or what?
It's weird that last week's came out for both and not this week's. I don't get that. But, you know, whatever. The God of War Collection, which is God of War 1 and 2 on Blu-ray with up-res graphics, will also include the God of War 3 demo from E3.
Now, I thought they said before specifically that they don't want to do that because they felt like the E3 demo was like, you know, it wasn't going to be indicative of what the game looked like, and they were like, oh, no, it doesn't look good enough.
Here's an explanation. It's Sony.
Right.
They don't know what's going on in their own company.
Right. Well, I mean, I think they should include it.
Yeah.
I want to play it. I'm not going to be like, this doesn't work. I mean, I saw the video of it. It looked fine to me.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe the actual game looks even better.
Oh, man.
Oh, no.
They always pull that stuff. It looked exactly the same.
Yeah. Some business news. IGN has acquired WhatThePlay.com.
Right. Probably good. Probably got a nice pot of cash from that.
Yeah. Let's get into some TGS stuff now. First, the big thing. During Sony's press conference, where absolutely nothing happened, Nintendo officially dropped the price of the Wii, $50.
Yeah, the timing was the most amusing part of this story, really.
Yes. Yeah, we all saw this coming. It officially goes into effect on Sunday. I don't know why it can't just be now, but whatever.
It's a pretty long, it's a pretty impressive run for the Wii at $250.
Yeah, really. Especially everyone thought they would launch it in $199.
Yeah. That's right, actually. That's right. When they launched at $250, everyone's like, what is this?
Yeah, this is ridiculous. This is It'll never sell.
It's so expensive. Yeah. PS3 is like, $600.
So I didn't write it down, but I guess the biggest thing that happened at the Sony press conference was a new Last Guardian trailer. That was nice.
Yeah, I guess. Wasn't much of the Last Guardian in it, really. But, no. You know, it looked good.
They also talked about their new motion controller, which is on track for a spring 2010 release, but as Lee Alexander of Gamma Sutra pointed out, it still doesn't have a name outside of motion controller. I told you, I would not be surprised if that's the name. You will buy a box that says the PS3 motion controller, and that's it.
Apparently it's going to be able to work for Little Big Planet and Resident Evil 5.
And Flower. Flower makes sense.
Well, Flower makes sense, yeah, I didn't hear about that. Sounds like Resident Evil 5, though, it'll be like those... The Resident Evil 4 Wii controls.
Yeah, which sounds kind of terrible to me, actually.
I like the Resident Evil 4 Wii controls.
Yeah, but when you're shoehorning it into a game that wasn't built
with
it.
Yeah, that seems a little... I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't quite understand what they're doing with that yet. We'll see.
The only thing Microsoft really did this week out of the show was announce that they've dropped file size limits for Xbox Live Arcade. The only exception to that, I guess there's a technical limit of 2 gigabytes. Hmm. So as long as you don't go over 2 gigs, you can release whatever you want now.
Didn't last year Microsoft do a lot at TGS? I can't remember specifically, but I thought they were busy last year there.
They had a lot of RPG announcements, I recall. And the final news story I have is Sony trying to kill the PSP Go.
Oh,
let's take a look at some quotes.
That's a nice title that you put there.
Well, I'm going to tell you all this, and you tell me if you don't think that's what they're doing. First, Sony has announced that they plan to maintain price parity with retail releases. SCEA's Eric Lampel was talking to the Destructoid when he said, "We have pricing parity right now and it's part of our strategy." Now, they pointed out that in Japan, the digital releases actually are a little bit cheaper than retail. He continued, "We'd like to keep it that way, keep a level playing field." And again, there's not much more to say on that topic. So, end of that discussion.
Right.
It doesn't matter that right now, like on Amazon or Best Buy or GameStop or anywhere, most of these PSP games that are being sold digitally are cheaper. So that's not really parody. That's called we're fucking ourselves, but, you know, good for them. Then at the show, amidst the mass concern that the GPS adapter and camera adapter were not PSP Go compatible, they revealed the PSP Go converter cable. Did you see this thing?
No.
Okay, so it's like this weird circular plastic disc with a cable in the bottom, and the PSP Go sits inside it, and this thing plugs in the bottom port of the PSP Go. And then those cameras and stuff sit on top of this disc. But it doesn't look like you can open the system while it's inside this thing.
Hmm.
It looks like it turns the PSP into a Frisbee. It looks awful. But again, no one's really using that shit, so I guess it doesn't matter.
Right. Wait, what's the converter for what now?
Like the GPS adapter and the camera that snaps on the top.
I don't even know about these things.
Exactly. Well, they're trying to push that new game Invisimals. Where you're supposed to, like, use the camera like an augmented reality thing and search for invisible animals.
That sounds like that ghost game coming out for the DSi.
Right. But the final nail in the coffin. Let's go in this order. So first, earlier yesterday, Sony of Europe announced a trade-in program incentive for existing PSP owners where you could put UMDs into an old PSP, log into the store, and once it verified UMDs in a drive, you could download three games from a predetermined list of 17 titles. Among them were such stellar breakouts as the first Wipeout game, not the second one, Echo Chrome, which I think you could get for $10.
So you can't even get the games you have.
Right. You had to pick from this list. So if you just had three games you didn't really care about, that's great. Whatever. It's something, but man, was that shitty. Well, it's a shit ton better than what's happening in America, because there is no UMD trade-in program. And they made this announcement like 8 hours later, where they said, "We were evaluating a UMD conversion program, but due to legal and technical reasons, we will not be offering the program at this time." This was SCEA's spokesperson to Kotaku. Wait. Why can they do it something in Europe, but in America it just can't be done?
Well, the something in Europe isn't... That's almost like a non-factor to me. That doesn't sound like anything.
It's better than nothing. Well, first of all, yeah, because, you know, every PSP game is already ready to go digitally, so that's... I don't see how that's not the problem. I mean, you really just get the sense that, they were like, they got drunk at a board meeting. It's like, let's make a digital PSP. It'll be sweet.
And now, they're kind of...
They're terrified. Like, oh, shit. Right. We're making an all digital PSP. Like, you realize this thing comes out in less than a week?
Really?
October 1st.
I did not know.
Does it
know
feel
that.
Like they're ready for this to you at
no,
all?
No, no. I mean, look, I told you from the very beginning I was not a fan of this idea.
Well,
you were all like, oh, man,
in the beginning,
this is
when they're
be
like,
sweet.
Yeah, we're going to try to do a UMD trade-in program, yeah. And we're going to have every title. Basically, when they were lying.
Right. Let me explain this. You believed all that because we were lying to you.
That's basically it. It's ridiculous. Like, there is no incentive. It's a more expensive system. The games are more expensive. You can't use your old games. You have to get this shitty adapter to use any old accessories. There is, like, the screen's smaller. That wasn't an issue to me before, but you know what? Let's tack it on the list. This is complete bullshit. I don't understand who... And the funny thing is, they said they're targeting early adopters. Those are the people who already own a PSP and all this shit that you're making them pay for again. What the fuck? It is the dumbest, most poorly thought out hardware launch I've ever seen. And I'm including the Sega CD in that list. Okay?
He had Sonic CD.
At least, you know?
Right.
This has nothing. I mean, at least Gran Turismo, even in Europe, they're getting that for free at least. We don't even get that. We get Rockman Light. What the fuck? What a bunch of fucking morons. And then the icing on the cake in Japan, they dropped the price of the PSP 3000. Like, yeah, we're putting out this more expensive one, and we're making our other one even cheaper now. So now why would you buy it?
It's hard to say that this thing is going to fail, just because it's hard to imagine, but maybe it will, you know?
I honestly don't know who's going to buy it. You're going to have, the Sony Defense Force buying theirs and saying how sweet the new, the layout is and how much more comfortable it is to use, which in and of itself is a concession to the shitty nature of the PSP's control layout. And then it's just like, oh!
I can't wait for those first sales, because I imagine it's gonna sell well at first, because there will be people who are, here's
but this is not mass market at all! This is not gonna tap into anything besides hardcore Sony fans.
That's what I said from the beginning. I don't understand why, besides for savvy, gamers like us, I don't think anyone wants this. I don't think anybody wants digital content like this. I think people are going to buy a PSP Go, buy a UMD game with it, and bring it home and be confused as shit.
Well, and okay, fine, you want to go for the iPhone market. But the iPhone is always connected to something, which kind of helps eliminate some of that confusion. Plus, there's not a history in an existing library of physical media.
Look, digital download games on iPhone exclusively is fine, because I don't have my iPhone as a gaming platform. I'm getting everything else online anyways.
Like I said, I'm a fan of digital distribution. I like it, but Sony and Microsoft are fucking up the pricing. I'm sorry, you can't justify to me why it should cost as much as or more than retail when it's a digital file with no packaging, no shipping cost.
Right.
You can't justify that to me. Especially when you look at, the whole PSP persona thing is proof of positive of this. It comes out a week later, it's the same price, and you don't get the soundtrack or art book. Who the fuck is buying the digital version? PSP Go owners, I guess.
Right, yeah. Yeah, see?
Ugh, it just blows my mind.
Just don't do it. You can get a nice PSP 3000 Dissidia bundle.
For less than the PSP Go.
Yeah, $200.
You can get a PSP with a game and a movie and a memory stick for less than a PSP Go.
Right.
And you can, like I said, you can go on Amazon or anywhere on the internet. You can get an 8 or 16 gigabyte memory stick for like $30.
Right, you can use your extra $50 to go get yourself a bigger memory stick if that's the problem. I feel like you're just, I would be more mad except this is, I was not a fan.
Yeah, you
of this.
Were ready for this.
Yeah,
I was.
You were kind of
excited. I don't
know
why I was. Well, because I still have a PSP 1000. I was like, you know, maybe it's time to get a new one. Well, now there's rumors of a PSP 4000. So I guess I'm just going to wait for that.
Right.
Oh, I just can't believe the ineptitude of this company. How could any company that's supposed to be this big multinational, multi-billion-dollar company do this?
See, I feel pretty good about myself actually because I just bought a PSP 3000. So I'm like, I made the right choice.
Oh,
I still have to fix that dead pixel on it.
I told you, you just gotta pull up a YouTube video or something.
Right, right. It's not the point where I'm like used to it even.
Oh, it just blows my mind. It literally blows my
mind.
Like
I said, I will not be a part of the PSP Go experiment.
And that's what it is. It's like an experiment to see how much money we can trick people out of.
I won't go that cynical. I feel like
you can't tell me that there isn't someone, Sony, who thinks, this is kind of a ripoff.
The answer they went with the $250 price tag. I don't know why not $200. I don't know why this is more expensive than a Wii.
Yeah. Yeah, let's look at it like that.
But I don't know why it's $50 less expensive than a PS3. I mean, this thing is fucking expensive. Yeah. I'm sorry. Okay.
Alright.
Let's get the quiz.
Alright. God.
Great American Ads Guy Gaming Quiz. It's not often you rant.
I know.
Good thing, too, because I felt like we were zipping through the news there, and then we...
I just wanted to get to that.
Yeah, I could tell. One second, though. TGS. This is kind of a disappointing TGS. Nothing happened.
No.
I'm like, it's like the most exciting thing is, like, Frank West is in Tatsunoko versus Capcom.
Which is funny looking.
Which is great, but I'll be disappointed as long as Phoenix Wright's on it, and he probably won't be, so...
No.
Right. Wasn't there, like... Apparently there was some box at, like, the Sony booth, and everyone was like, what's under the box? Well, they'll say something at their press conference, and they never did. I never heard any more about this box.
Huh.
So, I guess there's nothing there. Everyone was all excited. They're like, what's in the box? What's in the box? I guess nothing.
Probably a big turd.
Oh, that's funny. Okay, Great American Ninja Guy Gaming Quiz. Question one. What is the name of Princess Peach's steward?
Toadsworth.
All right. Question two. Name the professor who gave Luigi his ghost vacuum in Luigi's Mansion.
Oh, no.
He also created the Flood from...
Yeah, I know. Shoot.
Made an appearance in Mario & Luigi 2.
I'm going to remember this once you tell it to me. Go ahead.
Professor E. Gadd.
Dah!
In Japan, what is Birdo's gender?
Female.
Male.
What?
Yeah, it's supposed to be confused in Japan. They kind of keep changing it in America.
Didn't they find a dildo in Birdo's closet in that one weird game they released? That what? Mr. Colored or whatever?
Right, I think it was all supposed to be... Like, in Japan, it's a giant joke that Birdo's gender confused.
Okay.
Question four. What game did Waluigi make its first appearance?
Mario Golf?
No, Mario Tennis.
Ah.
Either Game Boy Color or Nintendo 64 would have been acceptable. Question five. How many Koopa Kids are there?
Seven?
Yes.
Okay.
All right, good. You got two. And bonus question. Name the oldest Koopa Kid.
Oh, jeez. The only one whose name I can even remember is Ludwig, so I'll go with that.
Ludwig von Koopa, correct.
Holy shit! Well, you go.
That was salvaged rather quickly. You got three out of that, at least. Ludwig von Koopa. Do you remember Lemmy Koopa?
No.
No? They're all named after, like, musicians.
Yeah.
All right. That was fun. Okay. What if? Explain this to me.
Okay, so what if? We're going to throw out some hypothetical scenarios of the gaming industry and talk about the possibilities.
Okay.
This is inspired by, there were news stories that were going up earlier in the week about Microsoft might be buying EA.
Oh, yeah.
Which was very quickly debunked and was completely ridiculous. But what if Microsoft bought EA? What would happen, Mike?
The first thing I can think of is Madden.
Yeah.
Like, what would Sony have to do? Sony would need some sort of something would have to happen with the football franchise. Maybe Sony could do something with, like, MLB on 9 The Show, when they can make their own football franchise.
Well, the way it works is the baseball exclusivity to 2K, it's a third-party exclusive deal. So the first parties can still license it. That means Sony, Microsoft, Nintendo can make a baseball game.
Right.
Only Sony is. The Madden exclusivity is, that's it. Now, if they were to be bought by Microsoft and become a first party, I don't know if that messes up the lettering.
I bet there's something in the contract where that wouldn't be kosher anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, but besides Madden, I mean, obviously that would be a huge, huge buy for them.
Well, like, that would also mean technically Rock Band would become an Xbox 360 exclusive, which means...
See, that would, something like that, that would hurt Rock Band.
Yeah, well, and then, like, you know, if this did happen, all these Rock Band games are out there, would they still release the DLC on the other platforms?
It's hard to say. See, I feel like this wouldn't happen just because it wouldn't be in EA's interest at all.
No.
Really.
No.
There's no benefit for them to be Microsoft exclusive. They're fine just releasing everything for the 360 and the PS3, and, you know, here's a crappy Wii port. That's their strategy, and I think they're okay with that.
It would be Peter Moore's grand return to Microsoft.
Right,
though.
It would be. It would be. It would, obviously, it would be a pretty big blow to Sony.
Yes. I mean, some people say this is what killed the Dreamcast.
Yeah, they didn't have EA. Even so, EA's not number one anymore.
No.
It's at, now it's Activision. That's like the big dog, you know.
Yeah, I was thinking about this as a quick tangent. Aside from, like, Call of Duty and Guitar Hero, and to an extent, World of Warcraft, what really big selling franchises does Activision even have?
Tony Hawk. Not lately.
I just gave you a face for the people listening.
Right. I'm sure there's other things. I can't think of any. They got Rayman, right? That's Ubisoft.
Yeah.
Look, Activision's fine, obviously.
And I was thinking about it. I was like, man, is Guitar Hero and Call of Duty really that big?
Well, they are.
That they basically sustain this company?
Well, there's a lot of smart projects that we don't think about that I'm sure do quite fine for them.
No. Yeah, fine, but nothing to make them like this uber national thing that they are.
Yeah. Well, Call of Duty does very well.
Yeah.
Very, very well, as does World of Warcraft and all their Blizzard things. But no, there's more to it. I mean, I can't think of anything right now, whatever.
Okay, back on topic. So, what if Nintendo did not go in the direction of the Wii, instead releasing another system graphically similar to the 360 PS3 with a standard controller, but still had the same basic interface online capabilities as the Wii? Service-wise, it was the same, but it was the same technology upgrade as the others. What do you think would be the situation?
Would be the price entry?
Let's put it the same as the 360.
Same as the 360?
Yeah, because it wouldn't have had a Blu-ray drive. It probably would have had a DVD drive.
It would have been stagnant from GameCube. Same sales. You still would have had those Nintendo loyalists buying that and being happy to get the new Nintendo games. So I don't know where that would compare with the PS3. I don't know if that's worse or better. Obviously, they would not be in first place.
Yeah.
They, you know, obviously.
Do you think they'd be beating the PS3? I feel like maybe a price advantage, and they could have pushed them over.
It's pretty hard to say. Maybe. If you told me like this new Nintendo system was costing $300 at first, or even $200, like the GameCube did, especially your killer point is the lack of any decent online component. I don't know. Like I said, it would do as well as the GameCube. Maybe it would beat the PS3. At least at first, when the PS3 was doing, you know, terrible. But, you know, just besides that, we wouldn't have the Wii. We wouldn't have all this reactionary crap coming out from everybody else. Motion controller and Natal.
The thing I think would have happened very differently if that were the case is I think the PS2 would have died a lot sooner.
Yeah, it's true, because the PS2 is benefiting from all these kind of Wii ports.
Right.
Everything's like, here's the Wii and PS2 version of Marvel Ultimate Alliance 2. Everyone have fun with that.
Yeah. Okay.
That's all I got to say. They would not be, they would obviously not be doing nearly as well.
All right.
They probably made the right move with that, as much as, you know, we sometimes are upset.
And my final one, because everything good comes in threes. What if Blu-ray had lost an HD DVD one?
Ooh. Sony would not be in a good place right now.
No.
That was a big gamble, really. They're lucky they won that one. And, you know, a large part of it was because the PlayStation 3 had Blu-ray.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it wasn't, the PS3 wasn't selling like gangbusters, you know, it was still a Sony system. It was still getting in the houses.
Well, neither Blu-ray nor HDVD sold particularly well. It's just that Blu-ray happened to be selling a bit better.
Right. Yeah, it was really the point where...
It was like, who's not losing as badly?
Right, exactly. It's hard to think back to that weird time where you had both of them.
Mm-hmm.
I think Microsoft was a bit more devoted to it instead of, here's our kind of add-on thing.
Well, of course, you know what the conspiracy theory there is. Is what? That basically Microsoft backed HD DVD just to cause enough interference with Blu-ray until more digital distribution on their end was ready. Things like their video marketplace and the Netflix deal.
That sounds a little high concept to me.
But. Some people do not doubt that Microsoft just threw some money out there just to make that happen.
Yeah.
It sounds feasible.
Right now, Blu-ray, like some people mock Blu-ray. It's kind of one of the saving graces for the PS3 in my idea.
That's, you hear a lot of people say that their PS3 is, you know, almost a Blu-ray player first and a gaming console second.
Well, besides that, though, it's nice because, yes, it is playing these you know, the newest media format,
mm-hmm.
and it looks good. Plus, you know, these Blu-ray discs, let's be, you know, they hold a lot of data. It is nice.
Mm-hmm.
You know. But no, if that didn't happen, if Blu-ray failed, I don't want to imagine where they would be. Because I imagine that Blu-ray would only be used by Sony as a format to make their games on.
It would have to be.
Right. And so that they could, and then they would only play DVDs. Yeah, that would not have worked out well for them at all. I don't want to say they'd be dead. I just can't imagine I don't know how bad things would have to get for Sony to say we give up on the PS3. I can't picture that happening.
Yeah, they do seem a stubborn company, if anything else.
Right. You're right. I just can't see them say, well, the PS3 is doing terrible, guys. We give up. It seems like they'll try things to the end. PS3 Slim, PS3.
Do you think... Okay, here's a bonus what if.
Right.
What if Sony does another PS3 hardware revision in the next 2 years? Do you think they would?
Yeah, I do think they would. I think they'll do it again to spike sales, like with the PS3 Slim. Everyone's always surprised when people do these things, these price cuts or these revisions, like the DS Lite or, you know, whatever, and then the sales go up. Everyone's like, look at this, the sales went up.
It's like, yeah, no shit. I'll promise you, more than half of the PS3 Slim sales are existing PS3 owners,
yeah.
Which is a problem because, as we know, they don't make money on the hardware. They make it on software. You're not expanding your user base.
Well, they are. It's just not as much that way. I think, you know, it depends. We have to see how this one's going to do. Because we still have a bit to go. I mean, I'd like to think that maybe the PS3 is going to turn the corner. Because, you know, you seem to have a little animosity towards it. I know it's in good fun. But I kind of like the system. You know,
I mean, yeah, when it works for me, it works. Like, I played Batman on it, and I enjoyed my time on the system.
Right, you know.
I have, like, it's just, you know, for me, like I've always said, it always comes down to the services. I just think Xbox Live is so much better than anything possible on the PS3 right now.
No, I mean, I'll agree with you. And I think that's something that needs to be addressed by everyone next time around, even this time around. There's still no reason why Sony can't launch a really good network service right now.
I mean, it's not like I'm like mad that like Uncharted 2 is a PS3 exclusive that should be on the Xbox. No, it's a PS3 exclusive. That's fine. You know?
Uncharted 2. See, I just had what to say if it. Uncharted 2 came out today?
You wouldn't be recording this right now. You'd be playing Uncharted 2.
No, sir. Oh, man. I can't. When October, like 13th?
13th. It's just 2.5 scant weeks, Mike.
Man, that's it. And then, like, what else? Brutal Legend, which is nice, but come on. You know, Modern Warfare 2, whatever. Oh, no. Those will be fun games.
All right.
Yeah, that's a good segment.
No, thank you.
I like what if. What if you weren't so stupid?
This podcast what if would be you better.
It's true.
Let's go to our week in gaming.
Okay.
We got a lot of games we played this week, actually.
What do I want to talk about first? I guess we should talk about Halo ODST.
Woo!
You go first.
Okay. I like it a lot. Like, a lot? Yeah. I do.
Go ahead.
Well, I've always liked Halo's gameplay. And, like, I mean, it's basically exactly what I want. It's Halo gameplay with a more interesting story and a fantastic soundtrack And, you know, it's just really good. I like the open world city stuff when you're the rookie. Especially, like, when, like, you know, you're out in the rain. It's got, like, the cool kind of film noir music playing. It feels very Blade Runner to me, which is a good thing. And, you know, like, I mean, the voice cast is fantastic. It's like the Firefly team of Nathan Fillion, Adam Baldwin, and Alan Tudyk.
Right.
I mean, they're great. And, I mean, yeah, I really, really like it a lot. My only experience with Firefight has been, listen, you and I played it a bit, and I tried by myself. I haven't gotten to do it 4-player online. But I thought it was cool, just too hard for, like, not having a full party. But people on Twitter who've been playing 4-player Firefight, like, keep raving about it. It's mm-hmm. the greatest thing ever. So I definitely want to try that soon.
I've never really liked Halo, so I don't want to be like that guy. He's like, oh, this game's dumb.
We tried some co-op of the campaign, and you weren't quite feeling it, I could tell.
No, I wasn't. But, I mean, I don't want to be like, oh, Halo's stupid. Why is Halo popular? I'm so mad, because I don't like those people. Whatever, I don't like Halo. I will say this, though. I would expect such a AAA game to look better. Well, I don't think Halo ODST, or, well, here's the problem. Halo 3 was not, it was good looking. It wasn't like the other Halos where it was like, oh, it's the best thing out there.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't look as good as even Gears
well,
of
like,
War.
Yeah,
and Halo ODST looks exactly like Halo 3.
George was talking about this once when he was on the show, where he said, like, Bungie's tech is second to none. And when you look at things like going on in the environment and the lighting and the shaders and everything, it looks great. But for some reason, the assets they created for Halo 3 aren't as good. Like, they're very low poly count models, and the animations are a little janky. Like, you even said, and I'll agree with you in this, like, the cutscenes, some of the character animations, a little off.
Right, like, yeah, like, that opening cutscene, like, some guy had to, like, point. And it was, like, the most weird thing. This doesn't look natural at all. And it looked much more, you know, I don't want to say that they have to mocap everything,
mm-hmm.
but they need to base it off of kind of realistic animations. I don't know. But, yeah, and, like, the models don't look great. And maybe it was something over our TV settings. You said you fixed it, but...
The TV was really dark when we were playing.
I
fixed that.
The game was way too dark for me. I was
That was an issue with the TV.
Even when I had the night vision thing, I was like, I can't see a damn thing. And I don't know if maybe even the graphics took a hit because we were doing co-op or what, but I don't know. I expected it to look better at least. And George was saying something on Twitter. He said, well, you know, the thing with Halo is they have really impressive skyboxes and things. He was using all these words. I'm like, I don't know what those words mean.
The stuff around.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway,
whatever.
Also, as a really cool side, like, the fact that you're not Master Chief makes this game good. Because you play it completely differently. Because, like, the health system kind of works like Halo 1, where you have, like, your stamina, which is, like, you can tell when your stamina's low because the screen gets more red. And then once that's gone, then you start losing health. And health can only be regenerated with health packs. So you feel a lot more vulnerable. And, like, things are scarier. Like, when you see, oh, crap, what are they called? Hunters,
yeah.
For the first time, you kind of freak out because you're like, oh, I can't just like run up to these and start hitting them with the butt of my rifle. Like, they'll kill me very easily. So, you know, it just changes the way you do it. And one thing that really sells it, all the voice actors, when they have like their kind of, ow, I'm hurt stuff going on, it like they do a real good job not only sounding really hurt, but scared. It's kind of like this hard way to describe it. Like, the level where you're playing is Nathan Fillion's character, Buck. Like, when he's like, gasping in pain, he sounds like he's panicked. It's really good.
I will say that, yeah, I appreciate the more narrative approach to Halo.
Mm-hmm. And it's fun to, like, you know, when you're doing these open city things, like, if you run around with your night vision all the time, it makes you look like kind of light up a bit to enemies. But, like, so, like, if, like, the way I'm playing is I actually keep it off when I don't need it. And, like, I'm constantly, like, going from corner and cover and moving between points. And I use my binoculars all the time now, which you never did in Halo. Mm-hmm. So it's just really changed the way I move through the environments. Like I mean, and I'll say again, the soundtrack is incredible.
Right.
I bought it off iTunes. It's sweet.
We'll say, though, like, why does everyone like Firefight so much? Like, it seems like, I understand that it's cool because, you know, it's the wave thing. That's mm-hmm. been around.
Yeah. Well,
I don't understand why this one specifically seems to be
Like I said, I mean, I've always felt that the Halo games have good combat.
Okay.
I just like the way combat
plays
in them.
I guess if you just like Halo combat and Halo kind of co-op, and here's the thing like that, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, there you go. I'm not going to complain either, like, oh, what the hell is this? This is a full price game, whatever.
Oh, I think it's totally worth $60.
I think it's fine. I think that my problem is, and is, like that Bethesda guy said, the marketing for it is bad.
Yeah, they fucked that up. Yeah,
don't call it Halo 3 ODST.
Which is actually, the story is actually parallel to Halo 2.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah, see, okay. I got to try the Brutal Legend demo because you brought that home.
Woo!
Which I don't think you talked about yet either, actually.
No, it's sweet as hell. I mean, I knew that game was going to be good, but damn, it's good.
Like, you know, it's a good action game and stuff, but like it's the little Tim Schafer touches that make it.
Mm-hmm.
Like just like the chatter that Eddie Riggs' character will do during things is fantastic. It's hilarious. Like, I don't want to recite any of it because you should all experience for yourself. But it's, you know, you can download it on a 360 right now. It's out on PS3. That game, yeah, that looks like it's going to be fun, though.
Mm-hmm.
I am looking forward to
that.
I'm
excited.
Right. It's just, you know, it's very clearly a Tim Schafer game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Coming into this, I thought I'd have more to say about it, but that's it. It's fantastic.
I don't want to say too much, because you can go download the demo on 360 right now and play it. I think it's still a pre-order-only thing on PS3.
Speaking of demos, IGN put up the Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker
demo. Yeah, and I haven't gotten a chance to try it yet, but you did.
The Japanese demo. Well, it's cool. Well, you know, you have to navigate through a lot of Japanese. And I had a hard time getting to the menu and switching my X-axis to, you know, to be non-inverted, right. I'm surprised because they changed the controls from Portable Ops. Portable Ops is a much more standard Metal Gear Solid kind of controlling with, like, the concession that, well, you can't move and change your camera at the same time because there's not enough. Well, I guess they wanted to address that. So you actually X circle, square, and triangle move your camera.
Mm-hmm.
The analog stick or nub or whatever moves Snake. Down on the T-pad makes you crouch. Up makes you do a lot of the context-sensitive things. Left changes like your left hand. Right changes your right hand. You know, you have the two inventory slots. Mm-hmm. So that's what those are. And then R button is like punch or grab for CQC. And then the L button is like aim down your scope or you know, use a lot of your items.
Okay.
So, and it
sounds like that works.
It does work really well. It's like, it's a PSP Metal Gear Solid game where you can, you know, walk around and aim.
All right.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. So it's like a really solid control scheme. And just from what I played, you know, it has like the cutscenes are in that graphic novel style that they've been using a lot. First off, for their graphic novels and then for Portable Ops, which do look really cool.
Yeah. They saw some screens. Yeah.
Right, they do kind of give the impression, though, like, well, what? You didn't want to render your cutscenes for this one? You know, you didn't want to spend that time?
Yeah.
But no, they do still
look. I think it's more of a space thing, really.
Right. Plus, Major Miller's in it.
Ooh.
Who, if those of you remember, was in Metal Gear Solid 1. Kind of.
Oh, okay. The voice. Well, I guess it's Japanese, so never mind.
Right.
So here's my prediction. This game will come out at, you know, X date. It'll have a retail price of, let's say, $29.99. You'll be able to download it for that amount off the PlayStation Network. Or, you know, Best Buy will have it day one sale for, you know, $25. Toys R Us will offer a free $20 gift card with purchase. Right. And Amazon will have 10% off.
Well, it feels like there's more of an effort here to, like, make people know, like, this is a real Metal Gear Solid game. Right. And Portable Ops really was, like, especially with the narrative, there was important things happening there.
I think the fact that it was called Portable Ops.
Right, yeah, there's too much of it that, like, made people feel like, well, this is, like, a side mission, whatever. Right. But this one, like, no, this is, like, a real deal. You've got to get this. And it plays really well. CQC is almost easier to do than ever now.
Yeah, cool.
So, which is nice. There are some interesting changes to the gameplay, though. You can't crawl anymore.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you can only you can still squat and move, like in Metal Gear Solid 4, like how that was introduced in Metal Gear Solid. When you're like on the floor, you can't move, which is interesting.
That's weird.
So, like a lot of like the hiding under things is gone, it seems.
Hmm.
Right. So I don't know what exactly they're going with that, but that's weird. There. Right. But you know, it's you know, you have to get through some of the Japanese, but you know. You're better off just probably skipping some of the cutscenes with the start button. There's kind of a tutorial that you'll probably accidentally skip once you try to pause the game because pushing start skips the tutorial. It's great because the tutorial is this guy speaking Japanese for a very long time, and then you're staying, and then there's a button prompt, and you press it, and the guy's like, yes! I'm like, okay.
All right, good.
Right.
Good, great, grand, wonderful.
Seems good. I'm excited.
Cool.
Mario & Luigi 3.
Go.
Yeah, that's right. I got this like right around last time we recorded, so I've been playing this a lot. Yeah, fantastic. Really good. Probably the best Mario & Luigi game. It's hilarious, like all of them. And like
like the way it works, it's like it's split evenly between Bowser, who's got his kind of, you know, is similar but like his own unique RPG mechanics, and then Mario and Luigi who are inside Bowser.
Mm-hmm.
So like they're kind of always affecting each other. But it's great though because it's like Bowser's kind of been cast as the unwitting hero or
unwilling
whatnot. The unwilling hero. Well, it's not even unwilling. He just doesn't really know. It's great. Oh. It's great though the way the game portrays Bowser though, especially and, like whenever it's like the RPGs, Bowser's portrayed as like much more. He's kind of like harmless, really. Like he's got this giant castle and all these minions, and he like wants to catch or put this Peach, but it's like, yeah, okay, Bowser, that's nice, whatever. It's like just kind of like an inconvenience, and it's like a silly thing. Yeah, and now someone else is here. He's like, oh, no, this guy's actually means trouble. We have to make Bowser help us.
That's great.
Right. Fawful is great. You remember him from the first Mario & Luigi?
Yeah. He
talks all funny.
Yeah.
No, he's the game's hilarious. The RPG mechanics are a lot of fun. It's good times. Everyone needs to try that out. $35, definitely worth it. It's I didn't like Partners in Time for some reason. I don't know why.
I almost think it was too complicated. Having the four players, I think, kind of complicated the purity of like this Mario RPG system they've created.
Right.
Because Superstar Saga was fantastic. That's one of my favorite RPGs of all time.
If you like that one, you'll like this one.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. Definitely get Mario RPG 3. The Bowser stuff's great. There's like some parts where Bowser will turn super big, and then you have to turn the game sideways to play it, and there's like a lot more touchscreen controls.
That's awesome.
Right. Like you have a fire attack, you have to breathe into the mic.
Like portable game designers don't take advantage of the fact that,
The DS is kind of like, it's got all these kind of crazy things you can play around with.
Yeah, well, and the fact that, it's not a TV that's sitting there. You could do shit like that.
Right,
you
exactly,
know?
Yeah. But so, that yeah, the game's great. And like, they're very good with like the touchscreen sort of attacks. They aren't that frequent, and when they do, it's like, okay, get out your stylus and press here when you're ready to start.
Oh, that's nice.
Right, so it's not like, here we go, get your...
fuck!
Yeah, exactly. Then you ready, kids? You sure? Okay.
Here we go.
It's great. Hope like Bowser's special attacks are like minions. He summons minions. So like for the Goombas, like the Goombas will run by and you have to tap them to breathe fire on them, and then they jump into the air, and then they all land down like one after another, like duh, duh, duh,
on fire.
Right. If you miss them, they'll just run into the guy and do like 2 damage. But then if they land on the guy on fire, it's like 8 damage.
Fuck! Now I might have to go get this game. You're convincing me now. I was gonna try to hold off on it until I finish some other stuff.
Well, it's great because like all the Mario and Luigi stuff inside Bowser is 2D.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Oh fuck! So, all right, we're going to Best Buy after this.
I wanted to get something to eat anyway, so that worked out.
All right.
But it might be one of those. It's a really good game. One of the best DS games I played, and that I like a lot of DS games. You play anything else?
I did play the Forza 3 demo that came out the other day.
How was that?
It's really good.
Yeah.
Forza
2.
Yeah, it's weird. Like I don't like realistic driving sims. Yeah. I can't get into Gran Turismo no matter how I tried. All these other games, but I've always liked Forza. I just think it does a good enough job of at least teaching you the game, and it's willing to say, like, you know what? If you're not that good at this game, here's a bunch of assists you could turn on. Don't worry about it. We just want you to have fun.
Mm-hmm.
Gran Turismo's like, you must learn how to drive these cars as though they were real. So, if you want, you turn it on easy. It does some auto braking for you. It shows you the optimal line, when you should be braking, accelerating. And, you get in these sweet-ass cars. Their cockpit view is phenomenal. And you just get to race, and these like the track in the demo is gorgeous. The draw distances out these mountains and stuff is awesome. Yeah, it's really good. I liked it.
You played Dirt 2 also, right?
I played that very quickly. I wasn't really going to talk about it. It's
Dirt 2.
It's fine, but I'm just not into rally racing at all.
Yeah, me neither.
But see, the other thing too is, Forza 2, the car customization stuff was fantastic. Even though I wasn't that great at it. But like some of the stuff people are putting out were amazing, and it's only going to be better in this one. Plus, it has the actual kind of like filmmaking stuff in it now.
Wow.
And I'm excited. Like there's that Team Blackjack, I think they're called. They made some really impressive Forza 2 videos by like using parked cars as cameras. Now they have like more freedom to create stuff. I can't wait to see what they're going to do.
Oh, that's right. I remember that.
They're the guys, because they're the ones who actually made that video when they first announced the game.
Mm-hmm.
They actually got those guys in to do that. They do some cool shit.
Right. I'm pretty excited. Yeah, that should be cool, because I did like Forza 2, mm-hmm. much to my own surprise.
Yeah.
Did you play anything else?
I don't think so? Did I?
No.
Why are you making me try to think I did?
I don't know. I'm trying to imagine. I guess that was a lot, huh?
Yeah.
I did get to do some Battlegrounds. I mean, some, like, 5 minutes, 5 minutes, it says, in World of Warcraft for the first time.
Oh, how was that?
It's cool. Like, I've never done all this endgame stuff, and it is kind of neat. The one right now that I think is really cool, it's called Tournament of Champions. The whole deal is they're having, like, this, it's like this, like, old medieval-style tournament. Like, in Ice Crown, kind of, like, where Arthas is. And, like, the whole point is we're going to weed out the weak heroes, because we're going to go attack Ice Crown Citadel soon and go get Arthas. So you go into, like, this building with, you know, everyone else, and, like Thrall is there, and, the Alliance King is there with Jaina Proudmoore. Thrall's got, Hellscream's kid with him, Grosh Hellscream.
Huh.
You come in, and, like, they're, like, the guy, like, has, like, there's, like, a trumpet, and, like, we welcome, Tokoto, one of the bravest Death Knights we've seen, and all the Draenei start cheering. It's like, oh, sweet.
Now, when you're doing that, is it a PvP thing, or are you just going up against?
No, it's an instance. It's not a person. Like, the first thing you do is you get on, you grab a lance, and you get on a horse, and you joust.
How's that work?
You know, there's a lot of those things in the. Did you do the Death Knight starting area?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, there's all those things where you kind of go on people. Now you have, like, special moves for them.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's like that. Like,
oh, okay, cool.
You have like a shield you have to charge. There's a charge attack and a normal attack. It's sweet. It's not like, you know, literally, like, line up and joust. But, you know, all five of you guys are on horses attacking people. Then after that, there's, like, this more traditional bosses. Then, like, at the end, of course, like, there's, like, a servant of the Lich King there, like, how dare you hold this tournament? I will put an end to this, and you beat him up.
Nice.
Great. There's the other cool one I got to do is called The Calling of Strathholm, which is a Caverns of Time thing. It's based off of the one mission from Warcraft 3 where where Arthas kind of kills all the citizens of Strathholm because they've been infected with the plague, mm-hmm. even though they're not turned yet. You know, it's like a precautionary thing, and that's like when, like, everyone's like, what you doing, Arthas? So that was a lot of fun. But, no, these things actually are pretty cool. It's like, you know, but the thing is, like, I'm level 80. I'm in the process of getting my gear. So people are like, what are you, a tank or DBS? I'm like,
both?
not either. I'm not good. Because, you know, everyone else in the guild, they went and fought Onyxia, which just got re-released. I'm like, ah, yes.
Is that a 5-man or is it 25?
Probably 25.
It'd be cool to do that 5-man.
Well,
it's like I said. That's like,
considering,
like,
it was originally 40.
Yeah, but like I said, that was always one of my hang-ups in the endgame content, at least originally, when it was like, oh yeah, took 40 of us, but we killed this dragon.
I'm pretty sure, like,
I feel accomplished.
I'm pretty sure, like, the biggest things are still at least 25.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, they make sure there are cool things to do for 5-man.
That's good.
Right. All right, then. Let's get to these releases.
Yes. Well, first up on WiiWare. This is actually a Nintendo-published title, You, Me, and the Cubes. It's some kind of puzzle game by the guy who made D, I guess?
D?
You remember that game on the Dreamcast?
No. I remember Sega Swirl.
It's nothing like that. I don't know. It looked kind of interesting. And then Family Tennis, whatever. Virtual Console is Last Ninja 2 for the Commodore 64. The DSi got Clubhouse Games Express Strategy Pack. Xbox Live Arcade released Zombie Apocalypse, The Warrior Street Brawl, and Ion Assault. Oh, there was another game I forgot. Here it is. Command & Conquer Red Alert 3 Commander's Challenge, which I got
with
last Rick week.
With Ric Flair.
Yes.
This came out on PS3 also.
Yeah, so real quick. I've just played a little bit of it so far, but I like it a lot.
Ric Flair's in it.
It is. Yes, he is. Woo! Yeah, I mean, you know, for $10 for what was actually 20 on the PC, it's not a bad deal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've gotten the RTS on console controls down pretty good. I feel like I'm in control of everything. It's a lot of fun. It has a great soundtrack, actually.
It does.
So, yeah. It's good. I like it.
What else came out on PS3?
Also, Zombie Apocalypse. Then a bunch of PSP games. Valhalla Knights, Power Stone Collection.
Ooh, Power Stone Collection. See, there you go. Dreamcast games on PSN.
Midnight Club 3 Dub Edition, Manhunt 2, and Midnight Club LA Remix.
All right.
Then GoodOldGames.com has two new games, Praetorians and Realms of Arcania 1 and 2.
In Japan, Final Fantasy VIII came out on the PSN.
Yeah.
I hope that comes over here. And then Final Fantasy IX. That'd be pretty sweet to
be able
to play.
There were no PS1 releases this week. I thought that was weird.
They're getting ready. Normal releases. Halo 3 ODST for the 360. The aforementioned. Then there's this Aeon, Tower of Eternity game for the PC.
I'm so excited about it. I just don't know what the deal is.
I'd really like to try it.
Yeah.
Well, I think the thing is, it doesn't have a... It's kind of a... Fantasy, it's an MMO setting we haven't really seen before.
Mm-hmm.
It's more of that I don't know what you would call it, Angel Fantasy.
I guess.
But, you know, everyone has wings and stuff, and everything's kind of prettier.
Almost like Escaflowne.
Sure. Order of War for the PC. Marvel Ultimate Alliance 2 for the PSP. I guess that was a little later.
Didn't do so well from GameStop's perspective.
Right. They gave the PSP and, like, the Wii and PS2 versions pretty crappy reviews, I think. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Smash Up for the Wii. Kind of like Smash Brothers, I guess, but with turtles and not quite as good.
Yeah.
Shin Megami Tensei Persona for the PSP. Ooh, they gave it a 5.
Wow.
I've seen better reviews than that from other places. I'm kind of thinking, like, do I want to get this? I don't know. I'm not going to go by this.
You're going to download it digitally?
I'm not going to do that. I am kind of interested in that Persona 3 re-release. That's cool. Katamari Forever for the PS3, in case you haven't played enough Katamari yet.
I have.
Spyborgs for the Wii. That Turtle Smash Up game also came out for the PS2.
Oh, Broken Steel as a DLC came out for PS3 finally. That's nice.
Okay. All right, then. Here we are. Thanks for listening, everybody. You can find more of us at explodingbarrel.wordpress.com or at squadronofshame.com. You've been updating the Squadron of Shame,
right? I think I did last week. Shoot. Okay. Because I do these from work sometimes. I forget that. That's fine.
Shame on you. You also follow us on twitter.com/explodingbarrel. Thanks for listening, everybody. We will be here next week. Although, are you doing something in between now and then?
Yeah, if you follow the Bitmob community at all, which you should, because Mike puts up some very good articles over there, they have a community podcast, the Pixel Revolt, and I'm going to be on there as a special guest on their podcast next week. We're recording it next week. I don't know when it'll come out. And we're going to get one of their guys on our show, too. So we'll cross-promotion action. Yeah, so we look forward to that. Should be fun.
It'll be great. All right, everyone. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week right here on the Exploding Barrel Podcast.